the song A Lifetime of Bad Habits by Adjust the Sails, a one-man band comprised of Shane Hurst, who we're going to have on here with us in just a minute. If you like what you're hearing, you should give us a pause for a second right now and give him a follow on Spotify and socials. Cool.
That was really weird.
I know. I read it. That's why.
I mean, I'm not complaining about it. I'm just, that's something we've never done before. And you made this face it's almost like a subtle Joker smile because you can only see her top teeth, but her lower lip is going way down into the right shape.
That is just what my smile looks like. I don't get it. It is not. So my smile, you can only see my top teeth, but then when I talk, you can only see my lower teeth. And I look so stupid when I'm talking in videos. Like, I tried doing some videos for the Instagram earlier when I was reviewing some music earlier in the week. And I look so fucking stupid when I talk on camera.
You don't look dumb.
I talk like this.
Your top lip just doesn't move as much when you talk.
Yeah, it's weird. Should I re-record it?
No. It was funny. It was the combination of that and then your face. You were just so proud of yourself.
Well, I was leaned in like really, really far. Well, usually I do that on my own, right? So like I shouldn't say usually. Sometimes we'll voice in.
Sometimes you add the intro before because we're not sure what song we're going to be playing when we record.
So usually if it's just you and me doing it, then I wing it. But this time I wrote it down.
Fair enough.
And I didn't rehearse.
All right.
Which is really funny because Shane is not like an overthinker. And we're going to talk about that later in the episode. Yes. I should really take a page out of his book.
Yeah, if you don't already know, we're the weirdos on I'm Not Okay, a podcast. I'm Stormy.
I'm Elena.
Welcome to the show and don't leave, please.
I've been thinking we should change our names.
Change our name?
Yeah, to something just like a little more MySpace.
More MySpace. I want to be Stormy Suicide. XX on both sides.
I just set myself up because what starts with E? Nothing.
I can think of something. I'm going to, hold on. Good scene names. MySpace. Three ways to pick a good scene name for MySpace.
Oh, let's go over this.
Oh, no! We're sorry, this article is currently in quality review.
No! It's quality. I promise that it's quality.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
You don't have to review it.
Okay, so number one, write your first name down.
I don't know that I can do that.
Grab a dictionary or something.
So words that begin with E.
Pick a number from 1 to 25.
Elena Eagerness.
Ew, I hate it.
Elena Email. Elena Epilepsy. Elena Embryo. You look so unimpressed.
I'm looking at scene kids and what they look like now, and it's pretty entertaining. Okay, you know Vanna Venom? Do you remember her?
I remember the name. I don't remember her.
Okay, well, if you look up scene kid online, she's the girl going like this.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
With
yeah.
the stripes in her bangs and the pink.
Oh, she's pretty now.
Yeah, did you see it?
Yeah.
I mean, she's got like the cute little dimple piercings. I don't even know what those are actually called. Ooh, E. Ecstatic.
Ew.
Elena Envy. Elena Ecstasy.
I think my first name just doesn't work with it.
Elena Echo. Elena Exposure.
But it would have to be spelled with just an X.
Okay, I'm cool with it. Elena Exposure. And then, Elena Exposure, but then X is on both sides.
Yes.
Elena Exposure X. Yes!
Nailed it.
Figured it out.
Did you just write that down?
I did, I'm obsessed. Elena Exposure.
Okay.
Okay.
So there were a few things that I actually wanted to talk about today.
Wait, I haven't picked mine yet.
You said Stormy Suicide. X Stormy Suicide
don't,
X.
I don't like it. Stormy Suffocate.
Oh my god, why didn't I think of this? Elena Egg.
I really like Elena Ecstasy better. Exposure.
Elena Ecstasy.
Exposure. I said Ecstasy before I said Exposure.
I like Elena. What about Elena X GG?
Okay, done.
Stormy Sacrifice.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's the first word that came up. Ooh, Stormy Salad.
On this list, it's got Stormy STD.
Ew. Stormy Sauce.
Stormy Sacrament. Stormy Sacrifice.
That's the one I said.
Stormy Sahara. It'd have to be a sandstorm, though. It's a desert.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done with this game.
Yeah, we kind of...
We've played the bit too much.
All right, so the first thing I wanted to talk about was fuck Ticketmaster, man.
Why?
Did you not see all the shit about MyChem?
I wasn't paying attention. No, I haven't been paying attention to any of that.
Okay, so essentially MyChem formulated their ticket prices to be like between, I want to say it was like 60 and 150.
Mm-hmm.
But Ticketmaster has this fun little thing worked into their contracts, which says that if there's a high volume of people trying to get the tickets, like there's a high demand, they can jack up the prices. So they're essentially scalping their own tickets. So when people queued up for the My Chemical Romance stadium tour, instead of having ticket prices that were like between 60 and 150, they exploded to be like between 150 and 600.
Wow.
Yeah. So I've seen like all these people commenting on socials or like posting statuses and shit being like, stop being babies. Like, just imagine back in the day when you were 13, you would have done anything to see your favorite band. Why won't you spend $500? And I'm like,
I'll have $500.
First of all, yeah, who does as a responsible adult? But second, like, that's not even money that's going to the band.
Yeah, like, if I'm gonna be spending that much money, I want it to be going to the people that I'm going to see.
Right.
Like, I don't want it to be going to the venue. I mean, they already paid the venue to rent the stadium.
Yeah. So, then there was this other wave of backlash that was like, well, why won't you pay this much money to see your favorite band? Like, how much money have you paid to see this band? And I'm like, again, that wasn't their prices.
I mean, we paid $400 to see BTS, but that's how much the tickets were.
Yeah.
They might have been like $500, but like, that's how much the tickets were. And we knew that going in. Like, and we got floor seats. Like, we were planning to get floor seats.
Right.
It wasn't like we got in there and it was $500 and we had to do it. It was like we knew ahead of time that's how much they were.
That's how much it's going to be. Right. I don't know. The whole thing made me mad, so I just wanted to give it an actual explanation for the people that thought that everybody's getting mad over baseless shit or, like, not wanting to support the band or something.
No, it's not about the band. It's about the people that are... If the band has a price for tickets that they want, because they obviously want people to be able to see them.
Exactly.
The people that want to see them. They want the people that want to see them and actually support them to be able to see them. But if they hike the tickets up, a lot of people can't afford that.
Yeah. It's all around just shitty.
Not that I was going to be able to go anyway, which I'm sad about. But, like, I would have been pissed if I was in that queue and got in and then was going to be paying way over what I thought I was going to be paying for that
ticket. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, and also, so Ticketmaster released a statement saying that they actually will boot you out of the queue if there's two people or like two devices trying to get tickets over one Wi-Fi. So if you're in the house and you're sitting on your phone and your computer trying to get tickets, it's going to boot you from the queue. But then you've got the issue of people that are living in dorm buildings or say two people in one house that are trying to get separate tickets.
Yeah,
or like, you're on a public Wi-Fi.
Especially the dorm building thing, like, or an apartment. Like, if two people share, because you can share Wi-Fi in an apartment building easy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. I'd say boycott Ticketmaster, except that they've got, like, a monopoly on everything now.
They sell every ticket ever. And if they sell out, then you have to buy from somebody else.
It's just ridiculous comparing to all the prices from, like, the mid-2000s.
Just go through SeatGeek.
Yep.
I've never had a problem with them. They get tickets ahead of time and then sell them for fair prices, usually.
AXS is pretty okay, too.
That's our tips to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Use SeatGeek and AXS. Don't go through Ticketmaster.
Make friends with the band and just buy tickets directly.
Or
easier said than done.
Be friends with the band and get a pass.
Why the fuck didn't you just text Gerard? Come on.
If I could, I would. He's sitting on my shelf. Just kidding. That's weird.
Have we talked about the Grammys?
No, we haven't.
How about Billie Eilish?
Cleaning out? Yup.
And all the girl shit that has stirred.
Everybody can fight me. She deserves it most, I think.
Of all the people nominated there, yeah, absolutely. It is flooring me that everybody's like criticizing her because she has money that was able to buy production value. And I'm like, well,
her brother's a producer.
In the Grammys? Yeah. But doesn't everybody in the Grammys have that going in?
Well, they think they're more, I think the complaint is that she didn't like, it's not like a started from the bottom, now we hear situation, which is stupid because the guy that sings that song didn't start from the bottom of anything.
Right.
Like, also Drake's problematic anyway, but point of the story, he was Wheelchair Jimmy first, so it doesn't really matter. She's still, no matter what happened, no matter that she had the money to make the album herself, her brother's a producer, he could make the album for her, she didn't have to pay him. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. She would not be where she is if she wasn't talented. Period.
Exactly. My point being, though, is everybody going into those shows is coming from some sort of privilege.
Oh, yeah.
Or sorry, going into those awards.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see anybody in there that was, like, playing on the street corner last week.
Not recently. But I don't think that's, I don't know. I don't really know why people have a big issue with it. It's just,
what I'm saying,
I already
is
have
every
such
single
a big issue with the Grammys anyway, because I,
yeah,
makes
me
mad.
Me too.
But
every single person that's being nominated there, their nominations are based off of albums and songs that have been released with a lot of money behind them.
Most of the time, yeah. Most of the time.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is, you can get a Grammy without, like, the televised Grammys are not the only Grammys they give away. There are so many Grammys that you can win. Like, so many. And most of those they give away off air. You don't see that shit. And that you never, like, right. You have to look up who won. And it's not easy to find because most of the places that post that stuff, like media and stuff, aren't posting all of the awards. They're only posting the televised awards. Anyway. But I also have a big problem with the Grammys because they do not give any kind of cultural music the same amount of playtime as they do everything else. So, like, it gets separated into, like, Hispanic music, which is, like, ridiculous because some of the people who sing the Hispanic music, like, if some of those people that sing in Spanish are way more talented than the people that are singing in English. And, like, the same goes for, like, they were talking about putting a K-pop category in, and a different category so that the K-pop artists wouldn't take away from the main categories.
Oh, so the white people.
Oh, yes.
Jesus Christ.
They didn't end up doing that, but I don't think BTS got nominated for anything this year anyway, which is ridiculous because they broke, like, 4 records with Boy With Love, but whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't understand how they choose who wins, is my thing.
I'm in the camp that I don't think any sort of art should be, what's the word for that? I don't think it needs to be a competition.
Shouldn't be graded, essentially.
Exactly.
Well, and if it is, it should be more about what are people listening to, not based on this, like the Academy Awards, the Academy chooses. Like, right. I don't understand how any of that works, because obviously all of that stuff is like, who decides who wins this? Like, who is deciding these things?
Hold on. I got to stop us right here because we're literally just here to talk about our opinions on music.
Well, yeah, but like, we don't.
Somehow that has graduated onto us actually making like some sort of an impression.
But I like to see what we are doing more as getting the stuff that we like out to people that might also like it, rather than, like,
that's fair.
Judging totally fair. It. Like, I don't know.
We should host our own Grammys.
the I'm not okay Grammys. It'll be like, we'll give out, Little, it's like the AP Awards when they did the AP Awards. Right. Gave out Scullies. I don't know. I just don't get.
Oh my.
Like, and that's what I liked about the AP Awards, it was that it was a voting situation. The only thing that wasn't voted on for the AP Awards was like the Icon Award. It might have a different name.
I don't
name.
Even remember.
There's it's an, either Icon or something different, but that award wasn't voted on, and it was just like somebody that made a big impact on rock and roll as a whole. So like Joan Jett won it 1 year. I can't remember the other ones because Joan Jett's the only one that matters to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Or it might be the Legend Award or something like that. Cause I don't, I think the Icon Award is Grammys. So I think it's something different.
Honestly, I never paid that close attention. Like ever.
I liked the AP Awards because it was a voting situation. So it was like people were voting on what they like best. And like, I feel like that's more important than if you're going to give away awards, it might as well be for how many like listens you're getting in streams.
You could just look at Spotify and find the winners.
Exactly.
We should probably just head into new music now.
Huh. We should.
Now that we've done the longest intro.
I have feelings about the Grammys, okay?
I know, I do too.
I don't understand award shows. They don't make sense to me. But I do agree that Billie Eilish should have won all of them. It's fine. Okay, so now I have to get to my new music because I...
Did you see that picture of Jack Barakat playing at the Auto Bar when they were in high school?
No.
So just to call back, when we were talking to Crashing Atlas, we were talking about the Auto Bar and like how it's a great local venue and all-time low. I think the day after we released that interview, announced a show at the Auto Bar, and evidently they haven't played it since Jack was in high school. And so we posted some old pictures, and it's really funny because he's wearing an anti-flag shirt.
That's awesome.
I loved it.
Okay, so since we didn't have an episode last week, I'm going to do 2 weeks of music, but I'm not going to mention everything. I'll just put it all in the same playlist. First of all, we're going to start with our boys from Those Without, because you know I love them. They released a single and music video for the song The Thin Line Between Hope and Despair. And I've had it on repeat.
You got 15,000 listens already.
Yeah.
Go boys.
So go check out that music video because it's awesome. Go listen to the song. Listen to it on repeat. We're going to jack that one up there with Polaroids and that other song. I forgot the name of it right off the top of my head.
There's Glass House.
Glass House.
There's...
It's Glass House is the one I was thinking.
Queen of Hearts, Scarlet.
Yeah, I could remember the other ones. I just couldn't remember the one that is the most played for some reason.
Gotcha.
My brain stopped working. So yeah, go listen to that because they're fantastic and they're going to be on the pod very soon. So
yay.
Keep an eye out for that.
Are we foreshadowing? Was that a hint? Because I don't think we've said
it. I think it was a straight up, I just said that they're going to do it. So.
Yeah, I think it was an official announcement.
So now they can't back out. Just Why? Kidding, they would never.
We really should have like made that more cryptic. My Chem style.
No.
Start with symbols for Sweden.
A penny and a bridge. Okay, so Weathers released a song called Feel Good. All Time Low. Released a single called Some Kind of Disaster literally the day after we last recorded.
It's so good.
It's so good. Hayley Williams released a single called Simmer that's really good. The Word Alive released a single called No Way Out. And then the last thing I'm going to say from last week is my friends dropped a little EP with their new band called Rosewood Drive. And the EP is just called Rosewood. And it's all on Spotify. Y'all should go listen to it. They're good. Okay, so this week, I did this morning at work.
Good job.
I know, I'm proud of myself. The Wonder Years released a song called Washington Square Park, and it's really good. Nothing Nowhere released Nightmare. Slaves released Bury a Lie. Our Last Night did a cover of Hot Girl Bummer, if you want to check that out. And then Tyler, the Creator, released a song called Best Interests. And I just love Tyler, the Creator, so I wanted to say that. Also, speaking of Tyler, the Creator, did you see that somebody like 4 years ago tweeted, he said, I don't know why you even care, Tyler. It's not like you're ever going to get a Grammy. Anyway, he got a Grammy.
He got a Grammy.
He got a Grammy, and he tweeted it. He tweeted, like, retweeted that and said, "Just so you know, I saved this for 4 years, and yeah, I'm that petty. I got one, bitch." Anyway, I love Tyler, the Creator. Kesha dropped an album called High Road. Louis Tomlinson dropped an album called Walls. And Theory of a Dead Man dropped an album called Say Nothing. I feel no shame for the Theory of a Dead Man thing. I love Theory of a Dead Man. Everyone can fight me.
And then I just want to say that Modern Chemistry released a new EP that's called Please Don't Let Me Disappear. And they are awesome. So if you haven't checked them out yet.
Definitely. Definitely go check should. Them out.
I have been on a huge kick of Modern Chemistry in the past few weeks. All right. So do we want to go and talk to Shane?
Let's go talk to Shane.
Now that we've finally made it through what should have been 5 minutes of content.
Whatever. It's a long episode. Get over it.
Woo! Well, I'm not afraid of dying, just dying alone in a cold, lonely hospital bed without a hand to hold. And I can see you there beside me, telling me I'll be okay as the life starts to leave my body. All right, so we're here with Shane Hurst with his project Adjust the Sails. He's from Atlanta, Georgia, and he just released a new single, A Lifetime of Bad Habits, in December. So just to give everybody a taste for you, what are your all-time favorite bands? They don't necessarily need to be, like, an influence on your music or anything, but just, like, where are you coming from?
Oh, dude.
Musically.
Lately, it's been a lot of, like, The Front Bottoms, Modern Baseball, and Mom Jeans, but, like, all-time favorites would be, like, Taking Back Sunday, Say Anything, Panic, MCR, and, you know, dude, I'm going to throw it in the 1975.
Yeah.
Like, not the new stuff, but, like, the first two albums are good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hit me right in the deep spot. And, like that the sweet spot. I was really weird about that new stuff that the 1975 was doing, but I think the latest one is way better than that weird small
People,
child speaking.
Okay, because People lost me. Like, when I started, when I heard People for the first time, this isn't the 1975 I love.
Yeah. Yeah, the, oh, I wish, hold on. I can find the song real quick. Because they just dropped another one not that long ago. Yeah. Me and You Together song is that new one.
Well, just like that small, like, 2 seconds, it sounded more like them than anything else I've heard put out recently. So it's,
yeah,
like
the first two are like the intros to the album, and I feel like they should not have been standalone singles. Like, that, it seemed really weird to me.
Dude, I also feel like they shouldn't be like the intro songs of the album, because like the intro songs of an album are what like leave a taste. Like the intro and the last song, like those two songs should be like filler, not something to begin and end an album on. You know,
yeah, like maybe an interlude type deal, but it does seem weird to open the album like that. But
yeah, it's like, hey, so you bought this album because you love us. Here's something completely different, like, which sometimes can be really cool, but like it wasn't.
It just, yeah, it kind of was like, it was very weird when because I was like waiting and waiting and waiting. And then the whole song is just young child speaking. Like,
yeah.
What's happening here? What are y'all trying to do?
They're edgy, man. They're trying to be different.
Yeah, just trying to do something different. But I have more hope for the album now that that new song came out. So,
oh, definitely, I'll have to check it out.
Anyway, sorry to derail.
So we've established you're an emo kid, essentially.
Oh yeah.
So who would you cite as your primary musical influences?
Oh, man. When I put out the first, like, four-song EP, or three-song EP, it was, Taking Back Sunday was a big, big influence on that. But then when I kind of just, like, took hiatus and just stopped doing stuff for a while, kind of started listening to, you know, the Modern Baseball, the, Mom Jeans, everything like that, and I was like, wow, this is a lot more simple than what I was going for, and it's pretty good. So I'm just going to simple it up and just have fun with it. So one thing I kind of try to do is, like, I don't know. Band. One thing I look for in music is somebody who's kind of going through the same thing I am. Somebody who's sad so that I feel like I'm not alone in my sadness. So I try to do the same thing in my writing for other people. But when it came to that first EP, I went super, super depressing about it. And I kind of learned as time went on that I don't necessarily have to be overly depressing to show people that I'm sad as well. So that's kind of where the newer sounds have kind of come from.
And I just wanted to say, like, you're funny as shit, too. Where does that come in from, like, the writing process? Like, is that...
Well, all my songs are written in 10 minutes. I literally pick up a guitar, play some chords, and just kind of start talking. And I kind of sit through it, like, two or three times and make it sound better. And then it gets turned into something. So it's pretty much whatever's going on in my head at the time. Like, how not to pick up girls on the internet was kind of... Like, I kept seeing memes and everything about people complaining about it. And I was like, you know, this is an issue. Why is this a thing? So let me, I'm going to write a song from these guys' perspective.
Yeah.
And same with Mike Walton. Mike Walton's an actual person. I'm sorry. I've got, like, myself echoing here, so it's, like, messing with me.
Oh, I'm sorry. There yeah, that's go. Awful.
It was me. It was me. I had my, my monitor on. But, No, Mike Walton's, like, my best friend, and he let me live with him for, like, 3 years when I was, like, homeless. So, you know, I was like, I'm gonna write a song kind of, like, you know, in, what's the word I'm looking for here? You know, dedicated to him, but at the same time, I'm gonna just pretty much make fun of him and his, you know, romantic situation and life situation. So
why not?
That's kind of how Mike Walton came to be. Yeah, I mean, and you know, it helped me get a little bit of a following there for a little bit. So it was cool. It was all right.
It was funny. I kind of got to watch Stormy real time as she was listening to you for the first time, and she was laughing so hard, like her face went red.
Well, it was which song was that?
I don't remember
because it was really good. I can't remember what song I was listening to. Oh, Meet Kyle.
Oh, yeah.
It was just the part where you said something about the voice in your head, and then you're going to name him Kyle, and he's your only friend. Whoa, that got weird for a minute. And it just made, I don't know what, it just hit a spot. And I don't know, I just feel like the lyrics were really clever, and they were funny, but also super relatable, so.
Well, honestly, like, that part of that song is, like, the most laziest part of, like, any song I've ever written, because I want to talk about, like, the voice in my head, I guess, like, because I kind of want to have this, like, motif of going insane, so I guess I'll just name the voice, because that works, and I'm like, I don't know what rhymes with Kyle, and I'm like, speed dial? Is that still a thing? All right, let's just throw that in, and then, like, in the recording, I was like, yeah, that got weird, and I just was like, you know what, I'm gonna keep that. Sounds dope.
I thought it was really funny, and... also really relatable because, like, when you're thinking in your head like that, it's just like, whoa, that got really dark for a second.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, it's just like, well, okay, that was weird. Let's, move on from there. It's, I felt like that before. It was really
cool. I am so much happier knowing that you improv those things.
Oh, no, pretty much anything I improv is, dude. And that's, like, where I'm having so much trouble, like, so many problems right now, because I'm sitting here trying to, like, I sat down a couple months ago and was like, all right, I'm going to do an album. I'm going to do an EP or an album or something. And then it's literally, I wrote Look Ma, I'm Edgy, which is just pretty much me making fun of everybody in, like, the emo and DIY pages because they're all, like, sit there and are like, look at how edgy I am for edgy's sake. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to make a song making fun of these people. And then Lifetime of Bad Habits, like, I put out those two, and then everything else I've been sitting here trying to work on, I've been like, wow, this is all terrible, like, nothing's going on, so there's just nothing to write about, you know, like, it's rough.
Gotta find some more perspectives from online guys, I guess.
Yeah, dude, totally. I gotta just, like, write a sequel to How to Not Pick Up Girls on the Internet, and I'll call it, like, How to Pick Up Girls on the Internet.
Can I tell you... This is a weird nerd thing, but as soon as I saw the title for that song, all I thought was, is it wrong to try and pick up girls in a dungeon, which is an anime that I really like. And the first time, I was just like, that has nothing to do with it, but that's the first thing I thought of. And I was like, nope, that's just me being a nerd. Fine.
It's
fine.
It's actually funny because I actually know exactly what you're talking about because I watched like two minutes of that one day because I was home alone and it showed up in my Hulu recommended. So I was like, okay, cool, let's watch it. And then I never touched it again, but... Nothing against the show. I've just been watching other stuff.
Yep, you gotta. Well, I started, because that one is hard to get into, too, because I watched, like, 2 episodes of it, and I stopped watching it for, like, 6 months, and then I started it over again, and I watched the entire thing in one day. So, like, I don't know. I don't know where my... watching algorithms lie in my brain, but they're on some weird shit, so I feel you.
Okay, so I want to move on here for a minute.
Okay.
Sorry, but I'm like derailing us hardcore today. Sorry.
You're fine. But I just want to talk about this, like, combining the whole emo genre with something that's a little more like indie and acoustic and like fun. What are the reactions like from a crowd, from people that are hearing you for the first time? Are you able to gauge that?
From a crowd, like, if I actually have a drummer, like, when I was in Maryland playing with Steven, and we had a couple, like, we had people in the crowd, like, it was actually, like, a good reaction. And, you know, like, playing acoustically, it's a little differently, because, like, people don't really, like, get into it as much, which, like, I get, I understand why, because, like, you know, when it comes to, at least, like, from my perspective, and nothing about any acoustic artists out there, but, like, whenever I'm at a concert or something, like, if an acoustic act comes up, I'm probably less interested in paying attention to it than I am if it's, like, a full band. Like, no, nothing against them. It's just, it's, like, a psychological thing. Like, the full band is more likely to, you know, move around, get into it, be fun to watch, rather than, like, an acoustic act like myself, where I'm just kind of standing up there playing guitar and I look miserable. Like, so, it's hit or miss. Like, I played a show in Tampa with my friends in Stop and Shop this last little weekend run I went on, and, like, it was cool. Like, we have a very similar sound, so the people who came out to see them kind of vibe with me a lot, and it was good. But then at the same time, you have other shows, like, I played at Smith's Old Bar in Atlanta, and, like, the majority of the people there were there for, you know, one of the other bands, and it was, like, their family, and they just seemed really disinterested, and, like, kind of were just doing the whole, I'm gonna talk to the family while the show's going on thing. Aww. So, you know, it is what it is. Like, everybody's got their good shows, everybody's got bad shows, but like, it's hit or miss. Some people really vibe it. They're like, oh my god, I like, well, you're like funny, or like, I feel that. But a lot of times, like I said, it really is hit or miss. I feel like the issue is too, is when you I suck at booking myself. I think that's my problem too. So I pretty much, like, if a show comes along and I'm like, I haven't played a show in a while, yeah, sure, let's do it. I don't really necessarily gauge, like, what I'm playing with, and that's the thing, too, is I feel like a lot of the times I miss my demographic. Like, Atlanta has, like, a huge, like, emo scene that I could probably just, like, scoot right into and have a good time, but the only thing is like, A, I don't really know anybody down here, and, B, I just, like I said, I suck at booking myself. I had a booking agent for a while, and then, like, I kind of just, like, parted ways from him, and I'm like, I don't need this, I'll just try and do it myself, and it's kind of been a little, you know, hectic and annoying when it comes to trying to book your own stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I have a question that we didn't actually put on our outline for this interview, but do you find it easier, like, because I know being, like, a solo artist technically, and doing, like, just being acoustic by yourself, a lot of times I know that it's easier to get booked with, like, bars and stuff. Is that something that you do often, or is it mostly just, like, venues and shows?
I try to keep it venues and shows, just because, like, a lot of times when you're like, in my experience, when I have been trying to book at, like, a bar or anything, they pretty much expect anybody who's trying to book through them to be an acoustic, like, I don't know, like, a singer-songwriter, which, like, is one thing I hate classifying myself as, because when I hear singer-songwriter, man, like, I think, like, super sentimental songs, like, overly, like, emphasizing your vocals, talented guitar, and if you're not talented on guitar, like I said, you're, like, over-emphasizing, like, your vocal range, your, you know, vocal patterns, you're singing, like, these cutesy songs, or covers, even, and a lot of times, that's what it feels like bars want, is a cover artist or something like that, and, like, that's just something I haven't really brought myself, you know, to do. And whenever I am trying to book, I'm like, hey, look, I'm acoustic, but, you know, I sing about dudes sending dick pics. So, like, be prepared for that. So,
see, I feel like at least here, we, like, I would go see somebody like that before I go see somebody that was just playing covers, especially in a bar setting. But that's also just me. And I know that a lot of bars don't look for that kind of stuff. But that just sounds way more fun to me than...
Oh, yeah. No, most bars look for people who are going to, like, who can, you know, fill out, like, 3 hours with a bunch of covers that, you know, will get people hyped. And, like, yeah, I'll play a cover here and there, but it's usually of, like, the Front Bottoms or like Say Anything or like some like not obscure but not top 40 artist. So it's I don't know, it's just the whole bar thing. Like, yeah, I could probably have really good luck with it if I was really trying to just, you know, make money with it, which like I am. I would love this to be my, you know, full-time job, but at the same time I don't want it. I've seen a lot of people fall into the shtick of making this a job by basically just playing cover sets at bars all the time, and that's not something I'm really willing to do.
Yeah, understandable.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you make it your job, it's not fun anymore, and that makes sense.
Oh, dude, sometimes it can be a pain in the ass here, especially like when, like, I don't know, I'm sure there's a lot of bands out there who have like no problem booking shows. But just like when I was trying to book like a week-long run for my birthday, which ended up only being a two-day thing because some other stuff came up, so I couldn't make all the whole week. But just like the 3 months leading up to those, to that like run, like the attempting to just try and book everything, like sending out make an EPK, send it out to everybody, get the wording right so that they actually are interested in, like, I get their attention, making sure I get the dates right. Like, it's honestly a hassle, man. It's like, that is the one part about this whole music thing I hate, is like booking myself. I give props to all those DIY bands out there that do it, because I do not have the mentality that I guess you need to, you know, do it, because it stresses me out and it makes me like sit there and be like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore.
There's definitely a marketing aspect that comes in. That's not really what you bargained for. We found the same thing when making this podcast. Turns out it brought out my type A personality.
And I'm just here like, I'll be the color commentary if you want. What do you need me to do?
But it's definitely a lot. And I understand, like, I've been putting off booking for the last month now that I really need to do. But what are your favorite experiences to have come from this project so far?
Damn, dude.
Like, all this shit aside,
We did a weekend run in October of, it was last year or the year before. I think it was last year. 2018. We did a little weekend run where we played Philly, Jersey, and then New York. And Jersey sucked because I didn't know that there was a such thing as a Jersey redneck. And we ended up booking, like I said, booked ourselves. We booked a bar in Seaside, New Jersey called EJ's Tap House that pretty much... We got there early and I was like, hey, look, here's the deal. What's the deal like with you guys? Because, you know, the promoter kind of flaked out for like 2 months. And so we had no idea we were playing the show still until like last week. So like, what's the deal? Like, what's the turnout like? Because, you know, I don't like scream, but I do kind of like yell and say the F word a lot. And he was like, oh, well, it depends on the crowd. I'm like, OK, well, we came back later that night. We were setting up to play and Mike Walton was with us and he was sitting out by the door smoking, and the owner of the bar was sitting there complaining, saying, yeah, they booked another screamo band. What happened to all the good bands like the AC/DC and Led Zeppelin cover bands? And it's like, all right, dude. So we went, like, that sucked. But like the show before in Philly was like this like dingy ass basement where like it was definitely not up to code. There was like a puddle of water near all the power strips. And I'm like sitting here, I'm like, this place could go up in fire any minute. But then people start showing up. We go on and like literally the basement is filled. We have people all around us. Like, I've played house shows before, awesome, but never like to this level. Granted, I understand a lot of them weren't there for us. There was one girl who actually flew into Philly for the weekend from Chicago because she wanted to adventure around Philly for a while. And then she basically used us as an excuse. So she basically flew out to Chicago for the weekend, came to the show. And that was cool. I had no idea she was there, like, from Chicago. I thought, like, yeah, she was from Chicago, but I thought she went to Temple U. I didn't think she, you know, flew out just for the show. So that was cool. But, no, I think, like, the coolest moment aside from that would be probably the amount of people I've talked to, because this whole thing's kind of put into perspective to me that, like, musicians are people, too. They're not just, like, you know, these famous celebrities. Because, like, I've had conversations with, like, Nick Hartkopf from McCafferty. I've talked to the lead singer Fred Disco before, like, Yumi and Everyone We Know was a big band I was into in high school. And like, I've had conversations with him ever since they kind of came back out of a retirement. So I think like, that's kind of the coolest thing, is like realizing that these people are people too, and I can actually have conversations with them. And even though I still fangirl, like, you know, it's, it's just cool to me to kind of like sit there and realize, you know, they're people too. Cause like I'm a person, there's people, I have a few fans who actually think I'm a much bigger deal than I am. And it kind of like blows my mind. Cause I'm like, dude, I literally live in like a tiny ass apartment. I have a day job. I don't do shit. Like,
yeah, know. But they admire the work that you're putting out there. And I'm sure it means a lot.
Yeah. 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 They just need to stop. Dude, they just need to stop saying I'm a role model because I am not somebody to look up to. That is like,
says you, but you're also like just doing your thing. And that is so cool.
Yeah, I guess.
It's so cool. Gotta give yourself credit where credit's due.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Well, we talked a little bit about this already, but what challenges have you had to overcome? And do you have any advice for other up-and-coming bands that are trying to build a following the way that you have?
The booking thing's definitely been an issue. As far as, like, building a following, like, at first, when I first made it, I thought I'd just basically throw my music out there and people hear it, like, which is, like, can be true, but it's very rare that that'll happen. You basically, the internet is like how most people are finding everything now, so what you kind of got to do is you gotta have your social media presence. You gotta kind of understand a little bit of the basics of like Facebook ads. I hate to say it, but like it is a thing. Like what kind of got us blowing up and got Mike Walton was our first song and got 20,000 streams, which like is chump change, but like it was exciting at the time. And pretty much, like, what got us there was Facebook ads. Like, yeah, we played some shows here and there, but, like, I basically put out an ad that was like, hey, most of our fans like Modern Baseball and the Front Bottoms. So I targeted, like, all of Modern Baseball and the Front Bottoms fans, put up, like, a couple pictures of me and Steve, and was like, hey, do you like bands like Modern Baseball and the Front Bottoms? Give our page a like and check us out. And, you know, we started getting messages like, hey, man, I love your stuff. Hey, this. A lot of like the advice I can give them is like that, get some knowledge of Facebook ads. And then when you're sharing your music, like as it's going to be spammy, you're going to feel like an a-hole, but like join some groups for like fan pages for groups like you guys. Like I'm a part of like the Modern Baseball, Mom Jeans, Defend Pop Punk, like all these different like groups where like I could kind of fit in. And every time I put out a new release, I share it in those groups. I'm like, hey guys, check us out. Like check out my new stuff. And it goes further than you'd think it would. So, like, I guess that's my advice, is just basically know how to kind of, like, just share your stuff with the right people. A lot of people, like, when we started, we pretty much tried to shove our stuff down everyone we know's throats. And the thing is, not everybody's going to be a fan. So you got to kind of be able to judge who's going to be a fan, who isn't, and then kind of go about that way, is the advice I can give to anybody starting out. Because once we kind of learned that, that's when we kind of got a little bit bigger of a following than, you know, we went from having, you know, maybe 30 listens in a week to now I have like maybe, I think like 8,000 a week since the last release came out. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah. I do all right.
So I feel like you're going to have an interesting perspective on this because you started out in Maryland and then you moved down to Atlanta and like it's a pretty big music scene. How would you describe your local scene? I mean, you can definitely touch on Maryland, too, but what's it been like going down there?
Georgia, I haven't gotten too much into the local scene, per se. Like, I've played a couple shows since I've been down here, but a lot of them have been, like, Florida or the surrounding areas. With the exception of, like, two shows I played in Atlanta. I was supposed to play a show in Athens 2 weeks ago, but I had a issue come up the day of the show, so I couldn't play it, unfortunately. But the scene, from what I've seen, like I said, like we have Michael Sarah Palin, a bunch of other like, you know, folk punkish emo bands like down here that so, and everybody seems a lot more engaged in it. One problem I had with the Maryland scene was like, A, I didn't really fit in because the majority of the Maryland scene was either ska, hip hop, metal, or the ex-metal kids starting pop punk bands. So yep. Like I could kind of fit in with like a pop punk show depending on like how heavy of a pop punk we were dealing with here. Like if we were dealing with like, you know, more of a Blink-182 sounding one or like an all-time lowish band versus like a Story So Far, you know, yell band. So, but down here, like there's a lot more I can kind of slide into, especially like the Florida shows I've played. Like the majority of the bands I've played with in Florida have been just like me. Like it's like acoustic-ish, sad boys pretty much. It's just sad dudes with acoustic guitars. Like that's pretty much like the people who I played with in Florida were like, and same with North Carolina had a bunch of people like that. Like I said, down here I feel like once I like actually break out of my shell and kind of decide to slide into the scene a little bit more, I just need to stop making excuses for myself, man. Like I keep making excuses. I'm like, I got work, I don't feel like doing this right now. So but No, I definitely think it's a better scene than Maryland was, from what I've seen so far. For me, at least.
No, I can see it. Love Maryland. I can see it.
Yeah.
And are there any local artists that have stood out to you? I know you said you haven't been too involved with the scene down there, but again, even if it's from Maryland, anyone that you'd like to shout out?
Well, from Maryland, I'd like to shout out my boys in If Not Tonight, because, you know, they've kind of been, you know, neck and neck with when me and Steve were doing stuff up there, they were doing stuff. And like, I'm always, you know, I keep in touch with, you know, Dan, Dylan, and a couple of the other guys from the band. So, but they're like they're a pop punk band that just put out a music video from up there. Down here, I don't know the name of the band because they seem to change it every other week. But I made friends with the guy who runs a business called Atlanta Used Guitars down here. And like, he has a project. But like I said, I can't exactly think of the name because every single time I turn around, they have a different band name. So, Zach, if you're hearing this, like, I'm shouting you out, man.
If you remember it in the next week, just email it to me and I will I'll voice over and edit it.
All right, I got you.
Then what I'm going to have you do is shout out your socials for us real quick. And then anything you have upcoming that you might want to talk about.
Yeah, so follow me on Instagram at official.adjustthesales. Facebook is facebook.com/adjustthesalesband. And then, of course, I'm on Spotify, iTunes, all that jazz. I'm on SoundCloud, but I haven't updated it in like 3 years, so don't bother checking it out.
Fair enough.
Aside from that, I don't really have any plans for anything at the moment. Like I said, I need to stop being lazy and start working on my music again. That's about all I got.
It's all good. It's hard in the winter. Everybody's tired and depressed. Oh, yeah.
Always. I don't want to be here anymore. I'm sick of disappointing all the people I adore. With another night, I smoke too much. Maybe I should give it up. Well, my lungs are turning black. Now I'm having trouble breathing. Maybe I'll get cancer before you start to leave me. I'm afraid. Oh, I'm afraid.
What do you think AFI's is?
I don't fucking know, dude. I don't know the names of their songs, to be honest. Like, I know... Oh, is it Miss Murder?
It actually is, yeah.
I was like, I know like one name of one song. Oh, it's probably that one.
I feel like we should probably introduce what we're doing here because at this point we've just kind of faded in.
Oh, yeah. Something else okay, entirely. So Elena's wants to play this game where she gives me a band and I have to try to guess what their most played song on Spotify is. That's right. That's the game, right?
Yes, I think.
What are we calling the game?
Most played.
Okay, sure. We'll think of another one later. It might get a better... The segment might get a better name later.
We'll see. I'll just dub it in really awkwardly. It's called Most Played 2 Electric Boogaloo.
That's for the next time we play.
All right, so Neck Deep.
Neck Deep. Ooh. Okay, here's the thing.
I don't care.
I'm really bad. I'm bad at song titles.
I don't care.
But I'm not looking. I'm not going to look on Spotify. Spotify's closed.
No. Yeah, don't cheat.
Spotify's closed. I just want to look up the song titles.
No. No.
Ugh.
No. Can I say something right now?
Because I know what my favorite songs are. Can I say something right now? Huh?
You're being very frustrating.
I can't remember song titles. Neck Deep. Okay.
You can look up the song titles if you want. I am giving you a hard time.
I'll go to a lyrics page so that all I can see is the song titles. If I go to AZ Lyrics, all it shows me is the albums and what the songs are called. Okay, so their most played of all time. Is it In Bloom?
It is.
Yeah!
All right. What about Don Broco?
Ooh, that's hard. Okay.
Okay, so here's the thing. Are we judging by Spotify's most popular or the actual one with the most plays? Because evidently they are not the same.
Oh, they're not the same?
Not on this one. So the one with the most plays is actually number 2. So I'll take either one. Most played or what Spotify deemed the most popular. I don't get it. I don't get how this works.
Is it T-shirt song?
No, that's actually number 3.
Automatic?
Nope. That didn't make the list.
It didn't? I like that song so
much.
It's
not even top 10.
Tightrope?
Nope.
Okay, I give up.
Come Out to LA is number 1.
Wow, okay.
And Everybody is number two, but it actually has the most plays.
Huh. I wouldn't have guessed that. Maybe I'm just, those are my two favorite songs from that album. And so, like, T-Shirt Song and Tightrope are my favorite songs from that album. So maybe I'm just projecting that on everyone else.
AJR.
AJR. Okay. That's really hard. Because I don't know if I should go for Sober Up or 100 Bad Days.
Do you want a hint?
Yeah.
It's neither of them.
It's neither of those?
Mm-mm.
Burn the House Down?
Burn the House Down is number one most popular. Do you know which one has the most streams? What about The Academy Is?
I can do The Academy Is.
Oh.
Is it dumb?
Nobody else is going to think so, but I think so. I'm probably the one person in the world that did not like this song. It's like, now that I can listen back on it, I'm nostalgic, but I did not like the song when it came out.
What album is it on?
Fast Times at Barrington High.
No, it really didn't. I didn't listen to this album very much. Crowded Room.
About a Girl.
Oh, duh.
And that song had 18 million streams, whereas the next highest one has 4 million. That's The Phrase That Pays. I think The Phrase That Pays is a lot better than About a Girl.
Yeah, it's another Imagine Dragons situation where my favorite songs are never the ones that
exactly. get
popular. Yeah.
Ooh, what about the All-American Rejects?
Oh. Does it give you hell?
Yeah.
I didn't even have to look at the lyrics. This
most popular and the most.
That makes sense.
The most listened.
Have you seen that thing that says when you die, your voice gets added to the
yes.
chorus line for Gives You Hell by All American Rejects?
I love it. Do you want to move on from this odd game that we invented and that totally did not...
It's not as fun as we thought.
Pan out.
It was fun for a little, for a minute, and then it just got sad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, do we want to just do socials?
Yeah, why don't you share our socials? You're a lot better at that than I am.
Okay, well, if you guys would like to find us, we are on Instagram and Twitter at I'm Not Okay Pod. We are on Facebook at I'm Not Okay Podcast. We have a Facebook group called I'm Not Okay Podcast Group. And then if you would like to send us an email and tell us your dumb stories about what happened to you at a show one time. Did you get tased? Did you fall down in a pit? Did you see a drummer barf while he was playing drums? Because that's always entertaining.
Whitney got pepper sprayed once.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just tell us your fun show stories. If you're in a band or if you're not in a band, whatever. I like to hear fun show stories because they're entertaining to me. But you can email us at imnotokaypod@gmail.com.
And if you've made it this far, please, please, please do us a favor. Hit the subscribe button. If you're feeling generous, give us a rating. Maybe review us. It keeps us posted in the podcast charts. Grammys.
The podcast Grammys? Is there an award for podcasts?
I don't know. There should be, but we'd never win it.
There should be. Well, I know there's like streamies for like online stuff, like YouTube.
Oh, true.
So maybe there's a podcast award show. That there can't be. My Favorite Murder would have already won all of them.
Yeah, exactly. Or I'm Not Okay might have won one or two.
Yeah. 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 Maybe. Think positive.
All right, guys. So we're going to sign off today with the song Hook, Line, and Sinker by the band The Lost Boys. They're based out of New Zealand. They're lined up to play the Cuba Dupa Festival in Wellington in the end of March. So if you're in the area, I would definitely go show them some support. Also, go ahead and give them a follow on Facebook and YouTube and on Instagram as @officiallythelostboys. They'll have a new music video for their song Raise My Glass coming out in the near future. So make sure that you're subscribed for that. All right.
We'll see you guys later.
All right, bye.
Bye. Stay on the call, though.